John. Thank the Lord for our faithful teachers and the good job that Brother Mike did today in the Bible lesson and the work that the Lord is going to do in our midst. Praise God. I think we'll read just one verse and I'll tell you the story. You're familiar with it anyway. Verse 11 of John chapter 2. Just the one verse here and then we'll share with you this beginning. Aren't you glad God's good at beginnings? Yes. Amen. Very good at it. All right, let's read verse 11 together. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. How could you not help believing on him? You have a miracle right in front of your eyes. Amen. But isn't it amazing how skeptical people can be sometimes? You give your testimony of what the Lord's done for you and how the blessings that he's brought forth in healing and deliverance, salvation. Amen. And they just kind of look at you like, so what? Well, I'm glad it's not so what in my experience, as far as I'm concerned, what the Lord's done for me. Amen. I'm thankful. It's powerful. It's real. It's wonderful. Praise God. But yet, it's just the beginning. There's so much more that God wants to show us. You may be seated. Genesis, a book of beginnings. And I think it's quite significant that this miracle taking place in Cana of Galilee at a wedding. And Adam and Eve, being God's creation, and the Lord's plan, the Lord's direction, everything that he made, he said it's good. And thank God, this is also good. The presence of the Lord in the garden, a partner, a helpmeet, that was found for Adam, and the blessing of the Lord that continued for them, and the family that was blessed. I believe God is interested in every aspect of our lives, everything, not just a Sunday morning, a Thursday evening. I believe the Lord is interested in our jobs, interested in our marriage, interested in our family. He's interested in our home. He wants to be a part of everything. And thank God we don't compartmentalize our lives and make them spirit-proof, you know, and like we shut a hatch or something and say, okay, God, every area of my life you can touch, you can have free access to, but this one I'm going to close the hatch and that's it. No, we are open to what the Lord desires to do. Now, the scripture says the Lord was called to that wedding. He was invited. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't just, we're passing by, oh, look, there's a celebration. Let's go see. Maybe there's free food. We'll go and have something. No, he was called there. Lord desires to be where he's welcome, where he's invited. Amen. And thank the Lord. We've made that invitation. We've made that call time and time again. Don't stop. Don't give up. Amen. Keep on going. Praise God. So, the celebration in Cana, a large gathering. The couple was there, happy smiles, eyes for each other. The parents, the guests, the governor, they call him the governor. I guess he was kind of the one who was in charge, a toastmaster, we might call him today. The servants, everybody bustling around, involved and busy and celebrating. Celebrating a new life together, a new beginning, a strong bond of love, and love being celebrated. Amen. We know, of course, that life and love is not always a celebration. There's commitment. Commitment that holds things together. Amen. And Some people are thinking, well, it's got to be a big party. They even approach God that way. If it's not full of excitement, if it's not a big party, if it's not a huge celebration, I think I'll go do something else. No, commitment. Commitment, being sure that you're in the place where God wants you to be and knowing that the Lord will bring satisfaction. Praise God. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And that's where we want to be as we let the Lord continue to manifest his power in our lives. So, the big celebration, but there was a lack. There was something missing. They ran out. And there was great concern. And Mary became the messenger and let the Lord know. And then things began to unfold. Praise God. And her advice is certainly advice that's got to be adhered to today. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't argue. Don't make excuses. Don't justify. Don't suggest another way. Just do what he said. And that's how you get the results. That's how the miracle comes forth. Now, I read a definition of a miracle. A miracle is an event or effect deviating from the laws of nature. Don't go along with the laws of nature. Changes beyond the laws of nature. An extraordinary event brought about by superhuman agency. Now, that's an interesting phrase, a superhuman agency. Well, whatsoever he saith, do it. Don't talk about it. Don't debate the philosophy. Don't study it to death. And being stagnant at the same time, you know, that's what sometimes people just do with the Word of God, study it to death. I believe in studying the Word. Amen. I've studied it for a long time. But there comes a time you step out and do the Word of God. Amen. And follow through on what the Lord wants to do in your lives. Amen. And the way to get your needs met, obey the Word. Follow through. But this superhuman agency used help. And God can use your help. Amen. Remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Well, you weren't there, neither was I, but we read about it, right? We read about it. And he said, roll away the stone. How come he didn't just snap his fingers and flick it with his finger and the stone rolled into the next country? Didn't happen that way. You roll away the stone. Loose him and let him go. I don't know if they were holding their nose as they unwrapped the grave clothes or not. But some hesitancy, oh Lord, been 4 days and so on, you know. But superhuman agency used help because the Lord wants to involve you. So whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Fill the water pots with water. Well, those servants had done a lot of work, and no doubt for several days they had been preparing for this wedding. And here they are on the wedding day, scurrying about, taking care of every little detail, taking care of every guest, doing everything that was required of them. And now here's a simple command for a simple solution. And they had to follow through. But notice, it wasn't, oh, run over to the market or run over to this vineyard or take this cart and these barrels and go over to where the wine is stored. And no, it wasn't. It was use what you have where you are. Sometimes we have trouble with that. and we have trouble with stepping into the realm where God can use you. And we struggle, but They had to do what was they were directed to do. They didn't just sit around and wish. They got up and worked. And praise God, that's what it takes sometimes. But the servants could have gotten in the act. Fill it with water? There's no time for jokes. We can get in trouble. We can get fired. Worse than that, we can get executed. We can't do this. We can't be involved in tomfoolery here. The water pots were just stone. They weren't decorative. They weren't beautiful to look at. They were just plain old stone water pots, and often used for ceremonial washing and not necessarily for drinking, but fill those water pots. And so they filled them to the brim. 6 water pots holding, if you do the equivalents there from firkins and so on, 20 to 30 gallons each. That's a lot of trips to the well. That's a lot of back and forth. That's a lot of sloshing of water and the path getting muddy. And the back and forth, a lot of walking to the well, a lot of filling up their buckets or whatever they use over to the water pots, holding 20 or 30 gallons each and filling them with water. Praise God. I'm thankful that 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 is still a reality, letting us know we have this excellency of power. It's from the Lord. It's not of us, because he has filled these vessels of clay. Amen. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord didn't say you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not functional enough. I'm thankful he filled us. Praise God. When we reached out in faith, when we desired his presence, when we wanted his touch, thank God, he came and he filled us. The Almighty God who fills the universe filled your heart. Amen. Filled your vessel. Praise God. I'm thankful he's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You look back in the Old Testament, Elisha and the king who smote with 3 arrows, and he was reprimanded. Why didn't you smite more than that? Sometimes we stop short of where God can use us to bring forth the miracle. Elisha telling him, fill the valley with ditches. You're not going to see rain. You're not going to see clouds, but the ditches are going to be full of water. Amen. Oh, thank God. There were those who stepped out and said, all right, he said, dig ditches. That's what we're going to do. They put their sword aside. They put their shield aside. They picked up a shovel and they started digging. And they were so glad because the next morning the water filled what they had dug out. No doubt there were those who said, I wish I had dug more. I wish I had dug deeper. I wish I'd stayed at it longer. But thank God, the Lord rewards the efforts. And God help us to continue in the area where the Lord has directed us to do. Keep going. Keep digging. Keep shoveling. Keep believing. Keep trying. Keep working. Because God has not failed in fulfilling his word. Praise God. The widow with the borrowed jars of oil. They kept pouring it. They kept pouring it. And finally they ran out of vessels and the oil stopped flowing. We need more vessels who are wanting to be filled. Praise God. And the hand of the Lord to be directed. So they filled it to the brim. They no more got done with that than the Lord said, draw out now. Now, there's a process. It takes time. It's got to sit. It's got to ferment. It's got to, there, all of these things, draw out now. Amen. And we know the ruler of the feast was impressed at the good wine usually given at the first, and then when those who are well drunk, not talking about being intoxicated, crying out loud, the Lord wouldn't have endorsed a wild party. The Lord wouldn't have sat in here and everybody gets sloppy drunk and feed that process. That's ridiculous. No, he's talking about everybody's full. Everybody is done. And now they're ready for all the rest of the festivities to go on. But now here he is complimenting and saying, this is so good. This is so great. Oh, man, I've experienced it. You've experienced it. God bringing even better. God bringing even more. God bringing even greater. Praise God. And oh my, if God has brought some wonderful things here to us now in this life, what's it going to be like in the heavenly realm? Oh, what's it going to be like in the place where forever, thank God, his power, his glory, his blessing is coming forth. Amen. And oh my, what great blessing that the Lord has in store. The servants knew where it came from. Now they perhaps could joke and laugh. Now they could probably hide behind their hand and say, isn't this great? Isn't this something? We filled it with water, and now they're complimenting it. But they were amazed at the power of the Lord, amazed at what God could do. Amen. And thank the Lord, he continues with his amazement. A donkey talking, how amazing would that be? Just make sure you don't answer back. Amen. Fire falling, rocks to cry out, water coming from a rock. Praise God, the Lord can do anything. But water is an important aspect here. Something to drink is very important. Isaiah 12 and 2, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song. Yes, he has become my salvation. Oh, praise God. He's so much. But he culminates it. The zenith, the apex is salvation. And with joy, you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord continues to satisfy thirst. He continues to point to how the Spirit of God is like water. Amen. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. He told that woman at the well in Samaria, rivers of living water, he said, was available to the believer who trusted the scripture and claimed the promises that the Lord had for them there. Come to me, he declares, and you'll never hunger. Believe on me, and you'll never thirst. Praise God. John 6 and 35 is still a very powerful promise that God desires to fulfill in our midst. Never hunger, never thirst, because of his touch and his blessings. So the beginning of miracles, just the beginning. He's so good at beginning. God created the heaven and the earth in our beginning. And that he's the creator. He's our helper. Amen. And what he created continues. You know, it's always interesting to me. We look out our living room window, and in the summer, you can't even see where the sun rises. Not that I'm up when the sun rises, but you can't even see it, even if you were out that window. You got to go out on the porch and look, because it rises up here. But now it's making its journey down the horizon, and it's about right here now out of our window where it rises. And then in December, it's going to be clear over here. How in the world does it make that journey, season after season, time after time? It doesn't get lopsided. It doesn't make a quick jump. It doesn't delay in one area. Just every season, here it comes, down that window. And then in the spring, praise God, hallelujah, thank the Lord, it makes its journey back up. Because he upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. And thank God, his beginning continues on powerfully. And that's what the Lord did for you. Born again of water and of spirit. Praise God. And thank the Lord that that is the plan that he put forth. Nicodemus having difficulty understanding, how can a man be born when he's old? Thank God he is a God of a second chance. He is a God of a new beginning. He is a God who is able to bring forth his power in such a wonderful way that you are a new creature. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Old things pass away. Thank God. Those old things that held you down, old things that troubled you and brought forth all kinds of anguish and humiliation and embarrassment and sleepless nights, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God for that power that the Lord desires to do in our lives. Amen. A miracle. A woman was in the flood area. And she prayed, oh, God, deliver me. Oh, God, protect me. And the sheriff came by in a skiff, hollered for her to get aboard. Oh, no, it's all right. The Lord's going to take care of me. The Lord's going to deliver me. Floodwaters rose. She had to get up on the roof. The Coast Guard came by in a helicopter, willing to give her to rescue her. No, the Lord's going to take care of me. How stupid is that? But yet there are people who pray for healing and still ingest things in their body that is against their healing. There are people who do things for deliverance and still go in areas that don't that keep them bound, keep them captive, and not moving into the realm of spiritual freedom and liberty that God wants to have. Come on. Come on, let the miracle work in your life. Let the beginning, the new birth, continue that work that God wants to do. The power and the blessing of his life in our lives. Amen. God is good at beginning, and he's even better at finishing. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He helped the Apostle Paul, who impacted three continents, who preached for decades, who wrote 13 books in the New Testament. He helped him declare, "I have finished my course." Hallelujah. Thank God that there can be a completion. There can be a finishing. There can be the work that God can bring in your life. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and he's the last. And he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to be completed. Because he's good at finishing. Ha! Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord brings that kind of power in our lives. Amen. Amen. And a disciple is going to demonstrate spiritual discipline. That's what disciple means. Not just a follower. Not just someone who's along for the perks. Oh, a good party. Oh, man, we're going to have something good here. Loaves and fishes. No, we're following the Lord because there needs to be evidence of a change in our lives, not just a chill, not just a, whoo, that felt good. Evidence. Now, Nathaniel. Good old Nathaniel. Not this Nathaniel, the Nathaniel in the scripture here. Philip told him, "We have found him, Jesus of Nazareth." What was his answer? "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And then, when Nathanael meets Jesus, the Lord tells him, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree." And Nathanael believes. He grabs hold of it. Praise God. And the Lord said, "You're going to see greater things." Now listen to this. Nathanael is from Cana. You got to go all the way to the end of John to find that out, but he is from Cana. So he shows up with the Lord at this wedding feast. He probably knows the couple. There's probably people he's greeting. There's probably people he's who ask him, who are these guys you're with there? What's going on here? And he would testify, "Oh, see that one over there? Jesus. He's from Nazareth." And maybe an eyebrow would go up just like Nathanael, you know, because they think the same way. Any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, let me tell you about it. When Philip came and told me, "We found him of who is written in Moses and the prophets," the word of God, you know, they're going to emphasize that. He told me he saw me when I was sitting under the fig tree. He wasn't anywhere around. How could he know that? And so he begins to testify about how great God is and how wonderful the Lord is. Praise God. And they see it for themselves because in this beginning of miracles, God shows his power and his blessing. Amen. Thank God. Nathanael means God has given. God has given. And God gave him proof of good things, of miracles, of blessing, of his spirit and his name. Amen. And when the nobleman's son was healed in Cana, Nathanael probably knew him. But oh my, it didn't compare to the thousands that Nathanael saw getting filled with the Holy Ghost and the thousands that he helped baptize in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Brother Mike, where were they baptizing? You did some study on that. The 3,000 that were baptized and the nice areas there in Jerusalem. It was a big deal. They didn't sneak around saying, "Oh, we got to be quiet here." because the chief priests and all of them can be upset. We're baptizing people in the name of Jesus. No, they were right out in the streets, praise God. Yeah, they were. Everybody could see what was going on. Well, it was noised abroad. They heard them speaking in tongues. They heard them talking of the good things of God. Nathanael saw that. He saw the man who had been healed after 40 years of living without taking a step. Nathanael saw him healed. Nathanael saw the revival in Samaria. Oh, Jacob's well. Yep, Samaria. Here we go again. And this time, the outpouring of the Spirit. Oh, praise God. Cornelius and his household, Peter delivered from prison. The list goes on and on. Aeneas, Tabitha, thank God the Lord saw the greater things that God had declared he was going to see. And Jesus was manifested in such an incredible way. His glory being shown and the disciples believed on him. Praise God. Now, John only recorded 7 miracles. And then he gave this explanation. Many other things which Jesus did. And he said if they were all written down, the world couldn't contain the books that would have to be written. Praise God. You been to the Smithsonian? We walked through the doors. Didn't spend much time in there, but that's an amazing library. But it wouldn't contain the books. Alexandria, in their day, was the library that Alexander the Great built, had the Word of God translated into Greek, and the Septuagint, all of that. All the libraries, all the world couldn't contain the books that would have to be written. And oh, thank God, he's still a God of miracles. Still able to bring deliverance, still able to bring healing, still able to give salvation, still able to change lives. Amen. Still able to bless marriages, still able to strengthen homes, still able to provide jobs and give health and give strength, praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful we serve a God of miracles. The miracles march on. Amen. Because the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And we haven't even seen the beginning of the end. Nope. Still going. Praise God. Praise God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Stand with me now, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. The devil with his lies would like for you to think that the Lord did something for you. The Lord worked a miracle for you. The Lord filled you with the Spirit. But it's about the highlight. There's not going to be much more. No, it can happen for somebody else, but it's not going to happen for you. We've heard those lies. We've heard the deceit that the devil tries to bring into our experience and shut down the miracles that have begun. And he's dumb enough to put that out continually. But maybe I should say smart enough to put that out continually, because he knows it works. We've seen it work. There are some who aren't here anymore. There's some who aren't faithful anymore, who don't claim the promises anymore, who don't walk in the ways of righteousness anymore. And so, I can't ignore the attack of the enemy. I've got to be on guard. I've got to be aware. But yet I don't want to take my eyes off the miracle-working God who stepped into ordinary, I guess, if we could say it that way. For that couple, it wasn't ordinary. It was wonderful. It was a celebration. It was the beginning of new life for them, a new era in their living, their being. But in ordinary ways, ordinary things. The devil would like to say, it's over. Not going to be any more. Not going to be anything else. You can pray, you can fast, but it's not going to happen. And we know that's a lie. We know it's a lie. Amen. Because the miracles keep going. Amen. And the holding on for my need, supply my need, Lord. I've got to see my brother get filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I saw it in a dream. I saw his hands raised, his head tilted back. I saw him talking in tongues. Praise God. Amen. And God, I've got to see it. And I know you're praying for your family. You're praying for your loved ones. You're believing God for a change to come to them. It'll take a miracle to do it. No, that's what our God's good at. Amen. And I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to hold off. I don't want you to stop knocking. Give God a break. No, he wants you to keep calling. He wants you to keep believing. Now we pray in faith, of course. We pray we ask in believing, not doubting, oh God, you've done it for so many others. I don't know if you're going to do it for me. No, you believe the Lord. Amen. You trust him. Praise God. And you will see the work that the Lord desires to do. Because so many more things happened after that beginning. And I can't help but imagine those disciples sitting around the fire. And, hey, remember that wedding in Cana? Remember the beginning? Look at how far we've come. Look at how many things we've seen. I wonder what tomorrow is going to hold. I wonder what's going to happen next week. Passover's coming up. I wonder what he's going to do. Praise God. That kind of anticipation, that kind of expectation. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. You hold on. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Let's come and pray for a bit here before we go home. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Lay hands on Sister Jennifer and pray for her right now in the name of the Lord.